This is Morning Edition on WNIJ. I'm Dan Klefstad, and I'm joined by Dan Gediman, the executive producer of This I Believe, a project that collects essays and recordings from Americans stating their core beliefs. The project was inspired by the 1950s radio program This I Believe, hosted by Edward R. Murrow. Dan Gediman is visiting Northern Illinois University to help collect more essays and to teach one of his core values, respecting the beliefs of others. Mr. Gediman, welcome.
Good morning.
The original This I Believe series featured famous people like Harry S. Truman and Eleanor Roosevelt, but it also gave ordinary people a few minutes to state their beliefs and explain why their beliefs mattered. This was in the 1950s, a tumultuous time in American politics, the Cold War, the McCarthy hearings. Why did you want to revive this series?
Well, I stumbled on the 1950s This I Believe series in book form. It's a very popular series, ran every day of the week on CBS radio during the early 1950s, and then were anthologized into a series of best-selling books. And I found one of these in a used bookstore, actually my wife did. And I was completely oblivious to this phenomenon in American broadcast history. And it was indeed a phenomenon. It was tremendously successful in its day. The book I had read in its day outsold the Bible in 1952 as the best-selling book in America. And I was struck by the parallels between the early 1950s in America, some of what you just mentioned, the political situation, the McCarthy, you know, Red Scare of that era, you know, civil liberties were being kind of discarded at whim. And at the point in time when I read this book, it was right after 9/11 and the Patriot Act had just been enacted. And for your listeners who may not remember that period very well, but there was a lot of fear in this country. Fear, we were about to go to war in Iraq, and there were people who were afraid to express misgivings about that. And, you know, were there really weapons of mass destruction? Can we even talk about it? Will I have the FBI following me as a result? So it was that climate of fear in the early 2000s that I found parallels to in the climate of fear in the early 1950s. And so I figured it was good medicine for America back then. Maybe it would be good medicine for us now.
And here we are a few years down the road from the launch of the new This I Believe in 2004. As we speak, millions of people in the Middle East and North Africa are speaking out against a film called The Innocence of Muslims, a film that insults Islam. Many of those objecting to the film have turned violent. What opportunities or challenges do you see for the This I Believe project regarding this event?
Well, actually, interestingly, I've been working really hard to try to launch a version of This I Believe in Egypt. And I traveled to Cairo last August during Ramadan. The State Department brought me over there thinking that this would be a good thing for Egyptians to engage in after the fall of Mubarak and January 25th revolution over there. And precisely because they don't have a history of any kind of civil liberties, they don't have a history of free speech, they don't have a history of any of this stuff that we take for granted here. So in a weird sort of way, they're sort of flexing their muscles to even be able to express themselves at the present over there. And even though they may be expressing themselves in ways that we don't care for, you know, sort of at the core of what This I Believe is all about is respect for other people's beliefs, especially beliefs that you disagree with or that you find offensive. And this is, you know, throughout the history of the United States in particular, you know, we've had this ongoing battle over, you know, is it okay to believe this or that or not? Shall I be jailed for that particular political belief or religious belief? You know, there was a period of time when you couldn't practice Mormonism in this country because it was outlawed because of polygamy, for instance, apropos of our current presidential election. I think this is a perfect example of how differing beliefs and the ability to even have a discussion about differing beliefs are causing, you know, having fatal consequences.
The beliefs that we hold and express, as you referred to, are protected by our Constitution. But there's no law that says I have to listen. Why is it important for me or for any citizen to give 3 minutes of my time to someone whose beliefs I might not agree with?
Well, I think it's a poorly exercised muscle of the American electorate, I think, nowadays, right now, because it is so easy to lull yourself into sleep, so to speak, by, you know, watching a news network that predominantly has people saying things that you agree with, okay? If you only listen to commentators, you only read columnists, you only, you know, absorb information that you agree with, I think something happens to us, something bad happens to us. And when you, because then when you encounter somebody who says something you disagree with, it's almost like you don't have a well-formed set of tools for how to deal with it, okay? And I believe firmly, I mean, this is my core belief, is that it is, we don't have to agree with one another, but we do have to live with each other. And I don't necessarily have to agree with what you have to say at all, but I think it is valuable for us as fellow citizens of this planet to learn to live with each other's differing beliefs and find ways of coping with the fact that you and I don't see eye to eye on whatever it is that might be. And that's either by finding things we do agree upon or whether it's simply, you know, agreeing to disagree. This isn't moral relativism. This isn't saying all beliefs are okay. Okay, there are lines that certain people just don't want to cross and they don't want other people to cross. I understand that. And what we're talking about in terms of this film is an example of a line that certain people who are adherents of Islam believe you do not cross. And what's interesting is if the shoe were on the other foot, how would we feel if somebody was depicting, you know, let's say Christianity, the dominant, you know, belief system in this country, in a similar way? Would we be up in arms? Would, you know, would there be sort of Christian fundamentalists in the street, you know, burning, I don't know, something in effigy as a result?
I'm sure you've met people who believed strongly in something, whether their faith in God or their faith in a political candidate or their faith in the political process. And then some event comes along that shatters that belief or at the very least really challenges it. When I see this, I'm reminded that believing in something or believing in someone, it can lead to disappointment. Is believing worth the trouble?
Sure, absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, history is filled with people, including people in the political world, who believed one thing and then believed another. I mean, we have the whole phenomenon of the neoconservatives, you know, that inhabited much of the Republican administrations from Reagan through the second Bush administration. And in many cases, these were people who were like, you know, had a history of, you know, being campus radicals back in the 60s. And then they had some sort of political epiphany in, you know, the 80s and or 70s and discarded what they used to believe and embraced something new. I'm not sure that there's anything wrong with evolving, okay? I don't think there's anything inappropriate. I mean, I think actually it takes great courage to say, you know what, that thing I used to espouse, I don't think that is true anymore, or I don't think that meets the needs of the current reality anymore. I'll give a perfect example. You know, in this country in the 1930s, you know, there was this strong isolationist tendency. The majority of Americans did not want to have anything to do with the war in Europe. And interestingly, we were talking about, you know, the birth of this, I believe, it was hosted by Edward R. Murrow. And Edward R. Murrow is largely credited with bringing America into World War II, as much as Pearl Harbor did.
His reports from the London Blitz.
Yes, because it made personal and people in America developed empathy for people in Europe, specifically the British, who were going through what they were going through in terms of being invaded or bombed by Hitler. And so I think that there was a case where America just whole hog changed their mind about Hitler and about the Japanese when our national security was put at risk. So there's a perfect example of an entire country basically doing an about face because there was new information. Okay. So, you know, there's a history of this throughout history. And I don't know that it is good or bad or indifferent. It just simply is a fact that as circumstances change, oftentimes our beliefs change as well.
Dan Gedeben is co-author of 6 This I Believe books. He'll speak at NIU's Holmes Student Center today. You'll find more information at WNIJ.org. Mr. Gedeben, thanks very much.
Thanks so much.